You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Spend your afternoon
with Relebo Gilemabota
on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
14 minutes to 2 o'clock, and we're about to get into quite a difficult conversation. We received a call from Anonymous who was seeking some assistance. And Anonymous basically said he stays in a complex where there's a woman who is being abused by their partner or their spouse. There are many people in the complex who are aware of this. There's even proof of the abuse, which has been captured on camera. And they want help, but they don't know what to do. Anonymous, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking my call and trying to assist me with this matter.
So when did you first become aware of what was going on?
So roughly about a month ago, we had a noise complaint here. And us as trustees, we're usually on top of these complaints. So what happened was at around midnight, I think it was Sunday night, there was a bit of an altercation here in the complex. And a woman was locked in against her will and eventually managed to get free. Now, during this whole situation, she was smacked around, and this was verified by two neighbors. And one of the neighbors actually went on further to call the police, who never arrived on the scene. So that was one of our biggest concerns here. And then a couple of days ago, we got another complaint, but from a neighbor complex, where the lady can oversee our parking lot. And she stipulated to us that she saw this individual, or we assume the same individuals, beating up on the spouse or the girlfriend at the time. And what was concerning there is they told us we needed, as body corporate and trustees, to get a hold of emergency services or try and help in. However, our hands are pretty tied because we can't do anything without further proof.
Mm.
So if this happened on our parking lot, we have CCTV footage. We would just like to know the day and the time, because it helps us identify it while we are going through the record books of our CCTV cameras.
Mm.
So now we're in a situation where we know this is ongoing. We've tried reaching out to police with if I could say nobody came through, so there was no help there. And now we want to know what we can do to help this individual out. You know, even if she is remaining silent, we don't want to be the trustees who let this go on, especially during the 16 days of activism.
Mm, mm. What is your ideal scenario? When you say you would like to help, what are you hoping that help looks like?
Well, I know that nothing appears out of thin air, like not any police officer is going to come here and do certain arrests, but I'd like to know about certain contact details, information, or people I can go to and ask them, is there a way forward from the situation? What are the best routes to take, especially for this current situation?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a tough one because, you know, I'm sure there are neighbors in that complex that equally feel like their hands are tied. How big is that complex?
So our complex is about 30 units.
30 units. Okay. It's small enough that everybody would be aware of what is happening.
Absolutely. Look, and I don't want to joke about the situation here, but if my neighbor farts, you can hear it.
Basically. Yes, yes. Is there...
So when this altercation happened, quite a few of us heard of it.
Mm.
And we had individuals going up to the doors, knocking to tell these people to calm down or stop what they're doing.
Mm.
But it was so late at night that, you know, I think individuals here are relatively scared. You know, I understand the need. Not everybody's going to knock on the door to stop a situation. So we want to know, as trustees, what is the best possible way forward, especially with dealing with a situation like this.
Mm. All right. We have contacted Sonke Gender Justice, and we're now joined on the line by Kian Liung, who is the Sonke Gender Justice Policy and Advocacy Unit Manager. Kian, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, good afternoon to you and your listeners.
So you've heard what Anonymous has shared, and they are in this situation, which I'm sure there are listeners who are thinking, I'm also finding myself in a situation where a neighbor or a cousin or whatever the case may be is in an abusive relationship, and I'm not sure what to do. Where do we even begin, Kian?
Sure, thank you. And I just want to commend Anonymous for reaching out to the radio station. I think this is a topic that is pretty prevalent in our society that people often don't speak about.
Hmm.
So I think first and foremost, I need to set up the parameters of the law and responsibilities before I get into the gist of the advice. So under the current Domestic Violence Act, Section 2 is very clear that there is a duty on the member of SAPS to either at the scene of an incident of domestic violence or soon thereafter, or reasonably possible when the domestic violence incident has been reported, to assist and inform the victim of his or her rights. So I think at the outset here, unfortunately, this is not an uncommon complaint that police don't respond to this. And I think it is unacceptable as a society, as a country that's battling with gender-based violence and femicide, that the police aren't performing or they aren't held accountable. So I think my first piece of advice would be to find out if the nature of the reporting, is it happening just through 10111 or is there a specific police station that's being called? It might help to identify the nearest police station in your community and call them specifically to see if they can intervene. It might be easier for them to do so. First and foremost, they have a legal obligation and duty to respond to these incidences. And
Anonymous is still on the line, so Anonymous can respond to your questions. Anonymous, are you contacting 10111 or was it a specific police station?
So we usually contact 10111, but we do have the number for the police station that is right up the road from us. How do I say this? The police, it would take them about not even a minute to drive down to where we currently stay. And we've had incidents where we've called out and nobody's come through.
Mm.
Now, I don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, these guys do work very hard, and I do commend the work that these guys are doing. But it doesn't make sense that a police station up the road, 12 o'clock at midnight, and nobody can come down to assist us, even if it's a basic noise complaint.
Yeah. Ken?
What we could do is assist. I mean, Any person is well within their rights. If they're not happy or satisfied with the level of service at that police station, they could escalate it with the station commander at that police station. And the reason why I'm highlighting this is based on the sensitive information you're sharing, it seems like this is an ongoing pattern of abuse. And unfortunately, in our experience, these incidences tend to escalate, the level of violence, where it eventually ends up as femicide, as in the partner is murdered, and in most cases, the woman that's murdered. We see it in the news all the time. And so I'm very concerned about this escalation of violence with no intervention, at least from firstly the police. And and secondly, I fully appreciate that people are afraid to engage. So I'm just going to jump into the next piece, because I think this is also quite critical. So as I've mentioned, Section 2, there is a duty specifically on the police to intervene and respond. Now, we've heard in the news recently that there are three gender-based violence bills that have been passed, well, not passed as yet, but it's just waiting in terms of the legal processes. It's waiting for the president to sign. It's been assented to the president. So the content has been finalized. So once it's signed, it will be then promulgated into law. And there are amendments in the Domestic Violence Act that, because currently it's a little bit unclear about the duty of the let's just call it the citizen or the ordinary community member on their ability to report. So Section 2 is now going to be amended under the Domestic Violence Act that there is firstly, there are specific designated persons in categories or classes that because of their employment will be deemed functionaries that have a onus to report on cases, but as a normal ordinary citizen that falls outside of that category, they also have a duty to report incidences of domestic violence if it's within their knowledge or even if they're on the belief or suspicion of something, particularly around three categories, and that is violence committed against a child, a person with disability, or even an elderly person. So if something is within their knowledge, they have an ownership or duty to report this to a social worker or the police. And they can do so just on reasonable suspicion knowledge. So if it was done in a genuine belief and it turned out to be false, they won't be guilty of an offense.
Can I, we are unfortunately running out of time, but very quickly, Anonymous, has anybody spoken to the victim?
So, how do I say this? The victim doesn't live on the property here.
Yes.
She visits every now and again. But the issue is, for us, as trustees, we condone this act. We would like to take some sort of action.
I got you.
Now, because we don't want to set a precedent in this complex to say, hey, guys, look, it's okay for you to do these things, you know, which is not.
So I'm going to have to leave it there, Anonymous, and I'm going to connect you with Kian so that we can hopefully get some assistance, and we'll give feedback to all of the listeners about what can happen. And I definitely think that that police station needs to be reported. But thank you so much, Anonymous, for calling in and seeking assistance. I see some WhatsApps are coming through also making suggestions about what can be done in a situation like this. But that is Kian Leong, Sonke Gender Justice Policy and Advocacy Unit Manager.